Okay, so let's go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'll just do the intro. And welcome all to the hashtag Blue and Green podcast with Major Cecil Davis. I'm your host, Major Davis, retired U.S. Air Force. Today, I'll be speaking with retired Navy Captain Dr. Gregory Belcher, who is accompanied by his attorney, the Honorable Dennis Reardon. The broad mission of our podcast is to foster an open communication between civilian law enforcement officers and military armed personnel so that events of January 6, 2021 never happen again. Specific to our show today, I will further characterize our mission as the following. The hashtag Blue and Green podcast is also a platform to allow military service members, active duty and retired, an opportunity to talk about their experiences, accomplishments, struggles, and issues going on in their lives and in the world. Therefore, as a member of the veteran community, we will use this platform in order to make others aware, Dr. Belcher, of your story and some issues confronting you in particular and the medical profession in general. As we press on, I want to let it be known that the motto of the hashtag Blue and Green podcast is quite simply Amor Civitatis, love of community. Today's show will examine the dilemma of distinguished retired Navy captain and medical doctor, Gregory Belcher, and the exhaustive efforts to clear his name of any wrongdoing in terms of alleged mishandling of required documentation of medical services performed. This conundrum will be thoroughly examined by my guest, Dr. Gregory Belcher, and his learned counsel, attorney Dennis Reardon. However, at this time, I would like for my guests to introduce themselves by sharing a little bit about themselves. I would like to start off with Dr. Belcher. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Dr. Gregory Belcher.
Hello, Major Davis, and thanks for having me on your podcast. My name is Gregory Belcher. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and I've been in practice since 1999. I also have a history of military service. I had, after a Navy scholarship in medical school and an internship, I went on active duty in 1989. The highlight of my active duty military service was being assigned as a medical department head on board an amphibious warfare ship, USS Mobile LKA-115. The ship really spent most of my 3 years out to sea, including the Desert Shield, Desert Storm campaign in 1990. Our ship was amongst a fleet of 35 ships that made the first landing in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, actually.
Okay, well, you bet. Well, thank you for your service. And you know, I was retired just prior to all the activities. So whatever you could bring up about the Gulf War, I probably can go in detail. I was in the planning phase at a strategic bomber base. We'll leave it at that, because anything else would probably be above board. But I do appreciate your service, so thank you so much for that. Now, what I'd like to do is go ahead and have this attorney, Dennis Reardon, introduce himself, just a little snippet about what he is he's doing and all, and then we're going to get into the meat of the program. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, attorney Dennis Reardon.
thank you, Major Davis. My name is Dennis Reardon. I'm a practicing lawyer licensed in New York and California. I've spent virtually all my career in California, but in handling cases in the California Supreme Court, in the United States Supreme Court, and in courts in Texas, Arkansas, New Mexico, various courts around the country, because I'm considered an appellate specialist, particularly in federal criminal cases, in which I've argued literally hundreds over the last 45 years. And let me say, and we'll get into this in greater detail, that not only have I never, ever encountered a case like the criminal prosecution of Dr. Gregory Belcher, none of my colleagues, and I have spoken to judges about this, when I describe the outcome of this case, they say that simply cannot be true. It cannot be true that any defendant could possibly be sentenced to a year in prison for a claim that they got a date wrong on a single medical insurance invoice for $217. The federal government has a policy that doesn't prosecute federal cases for less than tens of thousands of dollars. And they say, how could that be? It's an extraordinary story, and it's more complicated than that. But when you tell the complicated stories, it doesn't get any more reassuring or acceptable or puzzling than the short summary. So in that sense, I've handled death cases, I've handled exonerations of people who have been sentenced wrongly to death or to multiple years in prison. And yet I can say that I consider this as important as any case that I've ever handled, because not only is it incredible that anybody would be sentenced in federal court to a year in prison for $217, when you're talking about one of the most skilled orthopedic surgeons in the country who has spent decades serving his country and performing surgery on wounded warriors out of not only the first Gulf War, but the second. So let me stop there and let us go forward.
No, I appreciate that background, because of all the volumes of information that was forwarded to me in our exchange, you know, off camera, of course, I do not ever claim to be even close to being a lawyer, and I don't even mention doctor. I immediately was lost in the confusion. I know when I did service at the Pentagon, I used to have a general there when I was in Joint Chiefs. He said, you know, there are three kinds of people in the world. You got people who make things happen, people who watch things happen. Then there are those who don't even know something has happened. He said, Davis, don't ever get in that third category. But guess what? When I saw all your paperwork, your legalese and everything, the medical, I was lost. I said, I was looking forward to this podcast so I could come out of the woods. So I do appreciate that. But yeah, we're going to look into that very much so, because again, as you collaborated with your fellow attorneys, judges, et cetera. I talked around Tuskegee. We have a couple of attorneys around here. One of the attorneys, I don't know that Dr. Belcher may know him, but he was a two-time past national president of Alpha Phi Alpha, which of course, I know that Dr. Belcher would recognize that. And my hat's off to Alpha Phi Alpha. The fraternity I'm in, we, after 5 years, figured out what they were doing. So we decided to do it. I'm not gonna bring that up. But anyway, Milton Davis. I don't know if you've heard that name or not, Dr. Belcher.
Yes, I've heard the name. Yes.
You bet. Yes. And he's also attorney to Lionel Richie and all. But I got a chance to collaborate with them, you know, in terms of like, hey, you know, look at this case. And they made a comment that I heard characterized again when I was at the Pentagon. I heard a lot of things at the Pentagon, so please forgive me. But they said there's a progression that you have in life. Things go from the sublime to the ridiculous. Then some of them even go from the ridiculous to the surreal. As you know, surreal expressions of the imagination unlimited by reason. I think that's where we are with your situation. But I got to thinking, I'm a layman. I'm not even close. The only thing I know about law or anything like that is, you know, I have not missed an episode of Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, Law and Order, Organized Crime. I watch all of those. So now I don't want to be like the lady in the commercial where, the waitress slips and falls and she gets up and says, well, I watch all these medical shows. I'm not that bad off. But I didn't know. What was going on. So again, I wanted to just in particular ask you, Dr. Belcher, what happened? I mean, I know there was the documentation, the date was, inadvertently entered, and that happens. I mean, it's an editorial, that happens. But I'm thinking like, what am I missing? What else happened? If you can enlighten my audience.
Right. So as you may know, my subspecialty in orthopedics is primarily surgery of very, very complicated failed joint replacement surgery. And because the surgeries are so complicated, of course, the rehab is complicated too. So I learned after being in practice for several years that patients' outcome probably make up about 70% comes from rehab. Not even if you do everything perfectly with surgery, in other words, if the rehab is not good, your surgery may fail. And nothing to do with what happens technically in the operating room. So in 2009, I opened up a physical therapy clinic. And of course, for these very, very complex cases, most of my patients had had numerous hip or knee surgeries before, and they failed. And this was a last resort attempt to have any significant quality of life or any function. Some patients come to me in wheelchair, some in walkers, and they're just hoping to, you know, in the last quarter of their life to be able to have a good quality life. What happened with in this situation was that, and the conviction has nothing to do with my orthopedic practice. That was investigated, and it was clear. With physical therapy, our billing expert had decided that under the recommendation from the physical therapist, because some of these complicated patients, the physical therapy was very, very challenging. And my certified physical therapist found that, hey, if we are able to do two sessions in one day by two different providers, one that specialized in deep tendon releases, which is really important to someone who's been sitting in a wheelchair for several weeks or several months with flexion contractures. So my physical therapist devised a protocol. And this is like rare occasions that this happened where the patients would get deep tendon releases and spend an entire hour with the therapist. And this was followed by a second session where they would get more conventional physical therapy after total joint replacement surgery. And my biller, in order to avoid any kind of billing confusions, because it was the same day, again, on these rare occasions, she felt that if we built the second session the next day, then it wouldn't be confusing to the insurance company because they were likely going to just like not reimburse for any of the services if something was different from usual.
If I may interject real quickly, it seems like you approached one of the, either insurance or whatever, and they said, okay, they understood, and it seemed to be okay, and they gave it a pass, if I recall.
Absolutely. Actually, the insurance company for this particular situation was Cigna. And okay. I put in a call to Cigna, and I explained to them exactly what happened. I even volunteered to repay back monies. And Cigna told me that it wasn't necessary, and they completely understood. And so later, after a couple years, and again, very rare occasions we did that, when my billing guru, who had like more than 35 years of experience, retired, I got a younger biller to come in, and she said, hey, why don't we just use a two-digit modifier with our billing claims, and then we can do it. She didn't say it was, you know, what we were doing was wrong, but she thought it was a better way of doing it. And so we made that transition, probably somewhere between 2014 and 2015. This particular claim was from 2013, November. Okay. And so that's the whole crust of that $217. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been plenty of situations for me where, you know, I've had, you know, rented a car over a weekend and I would be billed for Monday, you know, and so a patient actually got the service. So mm-hmm. there's really no loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me cut in and say how what Dr. Belcher just said, and he described this accurately, translated into a legal case. And let me begin by saying that I'm going to say four or five things that you could have the entire Department of Justice of the United States in a room with me, and they would have to concede every one of them. Okay. The first is that Dr. Belcher was convicted of one offense and one offense only, and that mm-hmm. is a mistaken date on a different date or a mistaken date on an insurance form for $217. They can't dispute mm-hmm. that. Now, it is true, as he explained, that when they did two sessions in a day, in order to avoid an insurance company saying, oh, this is a mistaken billing, they're billing the same section twice, he had gotten advice to put them on different dates. And so in this case, the two sessions were on a Thursday. He billed for one on a Thursday, one on a Friday for $217. Okay, that's undisputable. Secondly, mm-hmm. he is a brilliant physician and a surgeon. In closing argument, the government got up, and because they were dealing with experts, medical experts, who said this man is a brilliant surgeon, and they conceded that. Thirdly, mm-hmm. there isn't any question that the patient received two sessions. So this isn't a case where anybody billed for something that didn't happen. That's third. The fourth thing is that the patient involved here got on the stand who received these two sessions and said, this is one of the most kind and dedicated doctors I've ever dealt with. And yes, I did get these two sessions. All of that is true. And of course, there can't be any dispute that he's had an illustrious military career, highly decorated, including decorations from President Obama. One final fact, which is important and will steer this discussion, is that Dr. Belcher has three teenage children. At the moment, he is a single parent. If he goes in to serve 1 year in federal prison, three teenage children will have no one to care for them while he is in prison. So let me stop there. There's more we can talk about, but I think we had to get out there some of the really, really fundamental facts about this. It is more complicated, the history mm-hmm. of how this happened, but I just wanted to get to a few things that no one can dispute.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that because, again, in my research, some of the things I did understand was that the ages, I think it was 12, 13, and 15, that's way too young. You know, you hear about latchkey kids like that, but in the environment where you all are, West Coast type of thing, you know, near a major metropolitan, the latchkey, that doesn't work. And obviously, that I'm being halfway facetious about that. They're not going to be there by themselves. But it's odd that, and again, I saw the comment by Dr., please forgive me if I mispronounce the name, Dr. Sanaz Hariri, who kind of lauded Dr. Belcher in all of his, you know, abilities and all. I think they shared a common space with, you know, so she's very much familiar with his abilities and all. And I thought about it and I said, now the individuals responsible for the prosecution, the conviction, and now the pending incarceration, et cetera, you know, it's kind of a thing like, do they realize who they're dealing with? I mean, this guy, to take him out of practice, and I guess that's already happened. That's one of my other questions, but I guess that's already happened. He's been taken out of practice. That's a virtual equivalent of taking Tom Brady out of a football game. Well, you need your quarterback at a very critical point and taking him out. I got to thinking, you know, I shouldn't say heartless, but then that keeps popping in my mind. You know, there's got to be something, you know, I don't know. Like I say, again, I'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, I tried law, you know, in college, law 101, failed it miserably. They told me to go join the football team. I never could figure that out, but I wasn't that bad. But anyway, so I don't know all the ins and outs of the legal piece, but I don't know. And I know that, you know, with your experience and background and all that you've done, I guess there's no other way that they're going to just go ahead and just recommend reporting to the Department of Prisons or Corrections or whatever, and that's going to be it for them. It's just, what a waste. I mean, it, you know, I looked at, yeah, go ahead.
It is, and here's the more complicated story, because some woman said, well, the government, their own policies would forbid them from bringing a federal prosecution for $217, and that they didn't do that. What happened here was that Dr. Belchers, the mother of his three children, who was also a doctor, had issues with billing that had gone on for a number of years. She had actually sued insurance companies. They were fed up with her, and they reported they took their case to the federal government and said that she has erroneous billing, and they claimed she had fraudulent billing.
Wow.
The issue here was that the government knew and had been told that the insurance companies had never, ever had an issue with Dr. Belcher's billing. But what they decided to do was to go after him on the theory that he was responsible for the billing by his partner, his life partner, and the mother of his three children. And they actually charged him with 14 offenses. Okay, 14. So this was not a case where they went after him simply for $217. But we have the right to a jury trial in this country. And the jury came back and said, this is nonsense. Her attorney got up in opening statement and said, Dr. Belcher had nothing to do with my client's billing. He had nothing to do with it. And the jury came back and said, that is right. Dr. Belcher had nothing to do with it. However, they then charged Dr. Belcher with a number of these small offenses, but some of them were on a theory that his misbilling or the different dates was for the purpose of fraud, to get money that he was not entitled to. And the jury came back and said, no, no fraud. And frankly, they came back and they acquitted him of 13 or 14 charges. Mm-hmm. And the one charge that was left was this one $217 charge, which was not fraud. It was that there was a wrong date on the invoice. And Dr. Belcher got on the stand and said, as he has said here today, I was advised that when you have double billings on one day or two sessions, divide the dates. He was forthright about that. He said that. And frankly, probably what occurred is that the jury overwhelmingly was ready to acquit him of everything. And maybe one juror or two jurors said, I want something. And so they gave them rather than getting hanging the whole case and having to go through it again, the jury came back with this one single conviction, which when you look at it, makes no sense at all. So what the real thing is at the end of this, if the federal government came out with this one silly conviction, then why not say, wait a minute, okay, the jury spoke and we're just gonna drop this. What they did was they went into court and said, Judge, we want you to punish him for everything that he got acquitted for. We want you to take all of that account. They really rejected the jury system and they convinced the judge to give him a year sentence on a single $217 conviction. So it was there a more complicated story? Yes, but at the end, the story is very simple, $217. And I'm not saying they went after Gregory Belcher because he was black, but I will say this, they wound up with the stupidest, silliest, unsupported conviction in the history of federal prosecutions. And who happens to be the person who's being sentenced to a year in prison on it? A brilliant, brilliant black surgeon. And so, you know, that really, I think, you know, points out forget the whole process. We are now down to an insane result in this. And I'll say this, the prosecutors in this case have never, never explained what and take into account and address the issues of these three children. They have never, ever said, here is what the federal government is going to do to avoid devastating these three children. They've never said, what will happen or how they can be cared for. And without Dr. Belcher, there is no one at home to care for these three children.
This whole thing really appears kind of heavy-handed. And as you were speaking of that, it occurred to me that, and I think that this will be kind of the flagship of all of the heavy-handedness that happened. It's something that you would put in, and I do word associations a lot. And I would almost say in this circumstance, something that happened earlier that I thought was really super heavy-handed. Word association, Roger Stone, Michael Cohen, Gregory Belcher. What would that have in common? FBI raids at some crazy times. Now, those two may have deserved whatever they got, Roger Stone, Michael Cohen, but Gregory Belcher, to throw him in there, that's almost like saying bank robbers, thieves, college presidents. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. But anyway, but, you know, FBI raid for this sort of thing, you know, and I appreciate you, sir, because you're holding off. You don't want to play the race card. And I'd be an African-American. That'd be probably the last thing I'd ever want to do. But like, you know, there was an expression President Obama used toward the end of his presidency. Come on, man. You know, type of thing. Like, where else? What else? You know, I'm almost out of words. What else could it be? You know, and I was going to do another word association as I was doing the research and reading up on this and just how kind of, like I say, sublime to the ridiculous, ridiculous to the surreal. I said word association. What does Brunswick, Georgia, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Saratoga, California have in common? You know, these sort of things are floating in my mind, and I imagine some of the listening audience may be doing that now, but of course, we just got word that Kenosha, Wisconsin, that's been closed out. But that was about as ridiculous as it can get. Brunswick, Georgia, crazy. You know, and then Saratoga, California, throwing in that three. But, you know, but again, getting back to the FBI raid, as we say in the streets, something I didn't mention in my resume, whatever else, you know, I'm from the projects, grew up in the projects. So I may tend to use some street terms from time to time, but FBI raid, odd hours, what up with that?
Well, no, it is, as you know, and you've probably heard the expression, law enforcement often love the perp walk. They love to bust somebody and make it as public as they can. Of course, they put a big press release out saying, you know, that Dr. Belcher was responsible before, you know, the billing of his wife and so forth. But I will say, I want to make absolutely clear, I do not believe that the motive to go after Dr. Belcher, and it was wrongful, but the wrongful motive was not his race. The wrongful motive was to try and make him responsible for the billing of his wife. That being done, at the end of the day, you are left with an insane conviction. And lo and behold, who is convicted? A brilliant, brilliant black surgeon. And there aren't enough of them in the country, you know, in terms of our black doctors and the contributions they make to our country. And you're talking about taking this man and not only spending a year in prison, but his case went to the medical board. And the medical board, because normally a felony, if you get a felony, particularly on a billing thing, you're going to lose your medical license. And they said no. They said no. They said they made a specific finding that they did not believe that Gregory Belcher testified falsely about any of his billing. And they did not take away his medical license. There's a period of probation that you always have to finish, but almost any other doctor would lose their license. They said no, not this doctor. However, with this conviction, most hospitals, and this is a surgeon, okay, he has to operate in hospitals, and the conviction is obstructing his ability to return to practice as a surgeon. And I can say this, I see them virtually every day. He gets an email from another surgeon, another doctor, saying, please perform this surgery for my patient, because you are the man who can do it. And you are the surgeon who can do it, and he can't because of this burden, not on his medical license, but on his ability to operate in hospitals. And you know better than I, and the impediments that it will have on his military record and his pension. I'm not an expert in that, but my understanding is that this could obstruct the military pension he earned by performing hundreds of surgeries on wounded warriors.
You bet. Yeah, and that's very good because me being a retired military officer, you kind of you ask that question like, well, hey, I'm set for life. You know, what could possibly go wrong while I'm going to lose this? Because it's kind of like a nice little cushion. Once a month, you know, you get this little cushion coming in. And then they said, well, hey, you ever want to get convicted of a felony? Now, not for me in particular, because it's not even close. But I thought about it thinking, you know, gosh, incarceration, a felony or whatever, I guess that would kind of cancel it out. It'd be such a tragedy. Then I'm handed this case about Dr. Belcher. And I'm thinking the first thing, and I think that my advisor and my secretary works with me. And he didn't realize, because why would he? I mean, he's not, you know, military background or anything, but, you know, although he's got people in his family. But no, I would ever think about that. Like, yeah, I mean, all that 20 years plus, you know, the pension, retirement, go bye-bye. And you can't get it reinstated. Once it's gone, type of thing, over a matter like this. You know, and I don't know. Like I said, I'm kind of put out there because, like, again, I look at kindred spirit. I did 20 years. He did 22 years. We both made it to the finish line, you know, as far as pension and all. And looking at all that's happened, and all the ramifications, I just wonder, the people who are putting him in this, you know, this quandary, do they really, really realize, you know, and do they really take note of his accomplishments? You know, like I say again, the virtual equivalent of taking Tom Brady out of a football game at a critical juncture. You know, they realize that this guy, you know, and who's going to replace him? You know, pity the poor patients, but I guess they're so busy caught up in the law, they don't think about things like that. So. I don't want to look at the end game, but I hope the end game is not. I think it was January 5th of 2022. He actually goes, reports for incarceration. Is there a way of staying that? I'm sure if there was, you probably would know that. I probably even explored it, but my heart goes out.
Well, the one thing I'll ask Greg to do, because he didn't do it before, is he had that service in the first Gulf War on the ship, you know, with soldiers, wounded soldiers, literally coming out of battle. Effectively, I don't know if it was retired, but he came out of service again in the second Gulf War. And then as he was, and Greg, why don't you just describe that? And then Major, it's critical to get back to the remedy problem that you just raised.
Yes, please. But yeah, Dr. Belcher, please, yeah, enlighten us.
We're talking about your service, in the second Gulf War when you were back in performing surgeries.
Okay, so the second Gulf War, 2005, I was actually mobilized. I was, I initially spent 3 years on full-time active duty. Then I went to active reserve. Yes. 2005, which was about 15 years in, I got mobilized to active duty because of the Iraq War.
Okay.
And my that situation was also difficult for me because at that time I had one of my three kids who was on the way, who's now 15 now.
Okay.
But yet I had to, instead of going over to the Middle East, I had to commute to Camp Pendleton, which is in Southern California in the San Diego area.
Yeah.
And so the very, very nice thing that they allowed me to do was to spend 4.5 days in Camp Pendleton at the hospital, taking care of the injured Marines from the war, and they also allowed me to spend 2.5 days here in Saratoga and in my private practice. And so, during that year, from October of 2005 to October of 2006, I actually did about 400 surgeries at Camp Pendleton.
Wow.
Most of them were actually Marines who got injured in training, but a lot of them were Marines that had gotten injured, and they would maybe spend 72 hours to a week in Germany or some other facility. And then we would, they would be transported to Camp Pendleton, and we would continue with their care, which in some cases it meant amputation of limbs. Sometimes it meant debriding or reconstructing limbs. They were stabilized there, transported, and we did the definitive care. But it was an incredible year. I certainly wasn't looking forward to it, but it was so extraordinary, rewarding for me and busy for me that I was actually bored when it was over by the year. But it was, I also learned, even though when I was on full-time active duty, I was on a ship with 450 Marines in Camp Pendleton. I actually lived with them, and I worked out with them, and I trained with them, and it was a quite wonderful experience for me.
You bet. I'm thinking at a second deployment, a second Gulf War. Gosh, you know, you hear about injured soldiers, Marines, whatever, sailors, but you always hear about they leave from downrange, which was Iraq or wherever, and go straight to Ramstein, to the hospital there. But you were kind of the interface. You were the kind of the guy in the middle. So, hey, you know, my hat's off to you, because, like I say again, I thought that was just kind of like the express train, injured on combat, whisk them off to Ramstein or Wiesbaden in Germany, and that was it. But you were the intermediary. Man, my hat's off to you, sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate that so much. So, but again, that type of information should have gotten out. And the thing that really kind of unnerves me is it probably did get out, but so much for that. So, you know, like, you know, thanks a lot. You know, not you, but you to them. Thanks a lot, you know, observing. But, you know, and when I saw the qualifications, et cetera, and the predicaments that you've been placed into, to save people, the requests are still coming in. Hey, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? You know, like I told you, my background, I come out of the projects, Homeview Courts projects. I use a lot of street terms, but you are the real deal, Neil. And I know your name's not Neil, but see, that is the right. Highest praise you get anybody. You're the real deal, Neil. And right. And just like, and I hope that we're not the only ones, and of course, with, you know, Attorney Reardon and of course, my producer, I hope we're not the only ones that noticed that. But sometimes you wonder, like, you know, yet the ordeal you're going through, hey, was anybody taking notes? Was anybody paying attention? You know, things that make you go, like, you know, but anyway, so I need to get off of that. Well, I think. That,
well you know, ahead. I can just say one thing. agents interviewed over 300 people. And actually, at the time of my arrest, one of the agents was actually crying. And she actually disclosed to me that they had interviewed over 300 of my colleagues, doctors, and patients. And yes. They said, no one had anything bad to say about you. And she was actually crying with tears.
And I have a copy. I have a copy, a transcript of that interview where and those fantastic remarks that she made. You know, absolutely, Major. You've raised the question of what can we do about this, and and I will say that it's something that I'm thinking about. Can I say 24 hours a day? I can say that I wake up in the morning and realize I've been thinking about it before I woke up. Okay. We're going to pursue every possible avenue. There are some in terms of dealing with the Bureau of Prisons to get a release, but they would require Dr. Belcher to be in custody when that process goes on. And our view is we can't let them spend 24 hours there. with given the situation with his children.
Exactly. That's a non-starter.
Yeah, there is a judicial remedy that we're going to intend to pursue. But the thing actually that anyone who hears this or any member of the public can relate to is that there's a political solution. When I say political, that's often a dirty word now. But what I mean by that is something involving the political system, which is that the president of the United States has two powers, okay? One of them, and we've learned by this, and of course they received a lot of criticism under the last president, but we're talking about a case in which this power was designed for Dr. Belcher's case. And one of them is clemency, which would mean that the president could immediately say, and he's done this, other presidents in the past, all right, there will not be a prison term in this case. The second thing, however, even if we get that we will be pursuing, and again, it's gotten a dirty label lately, is a presidential pardon. But the significance of a presidential pardon is that when it comes to things like licensing, and licensing with hospitals, when it comes to things like a military pension, a presidential pardon removes every civil disability. So when it comes to your licenses, when it comes to your pensions, so forth and so on, all of those are gone. And what a lot of people don't realize is they think, and even courts talk about this, that a pardon means that you're guilty, but you're sorry for it. Well, in fact, the pardon power is one that's used when innocent people are wrongly convicted. And that certainly is going to be the argument that we're making here, along with the fact that the necessity of an immediate action to keep Dr. Belcher with his children to the clemency power. But that is something we're going to be reaching out. We'll have a website and so forth, because we want people, and we want their dealing with the White House, but with their representatives. Because frankly, in order to have any chance of either of those, you quite frankly have to have and bring to the ultimately to the desk of the president support based on the merits of this case. And the merits for clemency and a pardon in this case, I will submit, are as strong as any case in the history of the United States. It's $217
for this man. One would think that in a case like this would be a much higher bar as far as the money aspect, you know, and $217, that's ludicrous. I could even handle that. And I ain't the richest guy around, trust me. But that's what's so ludicrous about this whole thing is the classic expression, what's wrong with this picture type of thing. You know, we work with it. Now, I'm one that, you know, I guess if you ever really got a chance, I guess, know my producer, and he'll tell you, I come up with I take brainstorming to the next level. I do brainstorming on steroids. And I thought about it, I said, now, you know, Kim Kardashian, not that you'd even think about that, but I said, now, she's had an unusual way, especially the young lady, the African-American lady that got out of prison down here in Alabama. Man, that sent some ripples through there, especially under the Trump administration type of thing. So we get to thinking like, man, this is a superwoman. We've heard of some other things that she's done. But again, that may not even play into this scenario at all.
It absolutely does, simply because, quite frankly, you know, the president is a busy man. And yes. And let me say this, the office of pardons, okay, there's an office which has policies, and that office, the pardon office, says it will not consider anything unless someone is already in prison, a clemency and so forth. Okay. And it will not consider a pardon until they've served their entire term. Now the president has unlimited plenary powers. So the only way a case like Dr. Belcher can be remedied is by bringing it to the attention of the political arm of the government and political representatives, and ultimately the office of the president himself. And that is that's what we're going to be pursuing. And as you said, Major, the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity the fraternity of Martin Luther King, the fraternity of Justice Marshall, Thurgood Marshall, is activated on this and very much wants to see justice done on it. So that's one of the organizations that would be involved. But we intend to reach out to everyone who we believe in public office who would be concerned and frankly deeply disturbed by this case and mm-hmm. attempt to reach them and gain their support.
You bet. I did see the amicus brief that was prepared by the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity members, and I learned something. I didn't know Willie Brown was an Alpha. I didn't know that, but that's kind of an aside there, you know. But it shows you kind of the high profile. Of course, obviously, Dr. Martin Luther King, whom I had occasion to meet during the Carter Mondale inauguration, I was assigned to escort Coretta Scott King. So I met Dr. Martin Luther King through that process and all. And so, yeah, like I say, very high profile types of things. But like I say, again, I'm trying to piece this thing together. Like, again, I keep asking myself, what's wrong with this picture? What, you know, did I sleep during part of the briefing? Did I miss something? Type of thing. So you certainly, very eloquently spelled the whole thing out. I can see the picture now. I can see the playing field. And I can see where there's a possibility for a Hail Mary that's actually going to work. And we score the touchdown and win the game. But it's just a matter. And I'm a little impatient. I guess that's, you know, having served in combat and whatever, you know, I'm kind of like one of those immediate ones. I want it now type of thing. I know that everything takes a process. I even suggested to my producer again, you know, and I'm clutching at straws. I said, maybe we ought to, maybe looking ahead, get the people in the Innocence Project. He said, no, that's not even close to what they do. The Innocence Project would not even work here. You know, they don't meet the parameters. Don't even try it, Davis. You could suggest it, then they'll look at you thinking, you really did miss the boat. Well, but again, so you have to forgive me for doing things like that. But I'm constantly working. From the time I got the information about the podcast, we're going to be doing this show, I've been working overtime. And I want to let Dr. Belcher know that it's not just the alphas out there. I'm a past bossless. Of course, in translation, that's president of the local chapter of Omega Psi Phi fraternity. And I talked to a lot of my Omega Psi Phi brothers. The Omegas are in with you too, Dr. Belcher. I don't know if you knew that or not.
You Thank may you.
Reject that because, you know, whenever you talk about the Omegas, there's always these canine references. Right. And I hate that. I'm sorry, I got a little emotional there. But, but they're on board with you. I know several Kappas. I used to work for a Kappa here at Tuskegee University. You have a lot more support out there, you know, from the Greek side. And so just wanted to let you know that. And I hope that, you know, it seems like that's heartening you. And that's what I want to do, because what else can I do? You know, just and I haven't stopped thinking. Like, say, you know, my mind works like that. But I just want to let you know. And also, as a result of this podcast, again, I'm mentioning the hashtag Blue and Green. We talk primarily about the AFVETS, you know, that's our website, AFVETS, you know, and that'd be a way that they can get in contact over this program with the AFVETS. But one thing I wanted to let you know, as far as the hashtag Blue and Green movement and mission, there was an expression that was very recently said, and I said, I'm gonna mention this to you to show you, like, you know, the type of support you got from AFVETS and from hashtag Blue and Green. The expression goes like this: in the profession of arms, drawn together are those who serve or who have served together, especially when in harm's way. There is a component of love in that bond, one you depend on. Sir, hashtag Blue and Green, and practically all the listeners and followers, I predict, have heard you, identify very supportively with you. Again, I just want to let you know that. Okay,
thank
now I'll speak for a bunch of you bet. Oh, that's easy. That's easy. And like I said, again, anything else I could think of to do, you know, like I say again, just hey, just have at it. You can find me, of course. I'm at the my site is the afvets.net. So www.afvets.net. And I think that my producer working with me probably shared that with you. The Twitter account is at Air Force Vets, very mm-hmm. simply. And like I say again, I'm aware of your information that's going to be going to justiceforbelcher.com. We're monitoring that also. So you pick up a whole band of brothers.
And okay. Like that.
And see, now when it first started, that expression, band of brothers, that's like during World War II, you know, all the combat, et cetera, was assigned mm-hmm. to males only. But now we know we got female fighter pilots and everything, so we have to say band of brothers and sisters.
Right.
We're all with you, sir. We're all with you. And like I say again, it's I can't think of anything else better to say. I guess if I was back in the project, I would say something crazy like, you know, want me to roll up on somebody. But that's totally inappropriate. Like, that's right. Awfully gangster. I mean, I shouldn't have gone there. But in my heart, you know, I could feel that. I don't have to speak it. But right. Again, I know that we're probably drawing to the close of the program, and I've certainly appreciated this program. Your participation, certainly getting your message out there. And Attorney Dennis, I mean, my God, man, you know, you are Superman in the flesh, you know. Well, you're both a super guy, you know, and there is no kryptonite, so we have to worry about that.
Well, quick comment, yeah, for the listening public, to show what can happen is that, yeah, yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, the governor of Oklahoma issued a clemency to prevent an execution. I believe the man's name was Julius Jones. The reason that happened was that there was a public outcry, including some of my favorite professional athletes joined in that from the Bay Area. This doctor, yes, is a doctor who has performed surgeries on athletes who have been injured and so forth. We're going to be reaching out to everybody, but everybody should be aware that the only reason that man is not dead today is because of public awareness and public outpouring of support for clemency. And that's what we're going to be seeking now.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was running around the back of my head. I couldn't remember what state, but Oklahoma, which I thought would be the last thing, but it would do something like that. He, of course, the governor's going to catch some heat because you got those, you know, hey, like, you know, might is right and whatever. But bottom line, he got that execution of state. He's away from there. And my God, you know, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I kept thinking in the back of my head, I said, what else were I going to bring up? You saved me because you brought it up.
That was a state. That was done by the governor of the state, and he has the power, yes, to commute or pardon within his state. But yes, for a federal offense, the person who has that power is the president of the United States. And he's the person that we're going to be working hard to bring this to his desk and reaching out to people who will help us get that statement and these facts that we've presented to your audience to the president's attention. Before January 5th.
Yes, exactly. Because like I say, and like I said, there's a way we can just expedite, you know, accelerate, what does the Navy say, accelerate your life, you know, type of thing. I wish we could make that happen. But again, yes, I want to go ahead and we've covered a lot of territory. And I think it was an appointment or something that you had to do. And I don't want to crowd you on that. I'm not sure how the traffic is out there in the Bay Area out in California, but I don't want to do that. But I think we've sufficiently covered this information. I'm going to be monitoring all of the social media that we're attached to, like I say, in Twitter, you know, at Air Force Vets, you know, and also the www.afvets.net. I'll be monitoring that. And I know that my producer works with the justiceforbelcher.com to see, hopefully this podcast has really boosted some awareness, certainly, but something of action. You never know what's on somebody's mind. Someone listening to this, also, you may get a flood of ideas that maybe we never thought of. But with all your experience, I can't imagine that would be much. Like, so you got a crackpot like me to come up with all kinds of little crazy things. Said Davis, settle down. That can't possibly happen. But I'll keep throwing those brainstorming ideas out.
And I know I speak for Greg, and he can say it as well. This has been the most important step forward in our battle to ward off January 5th. And we're just deeply gratified to you, your organization, and your program for this opportunity.
Thank you. You bet. We had to do it. When I first heard about it, you know, I think the word was let's, I say go, jump how high. I'm ready to rock and roll. That's another expression from the projects. But anyway, but I live by that. Yeah, you know, my wife constantly stays on me about that. Like, you know, I told her, you can take me out of the project, you can't take the project out of me. She said, what's that supposed to mean? So anyway, that's another story. That's another joke. We're not going to get into that one. But I certainly appreciate both of y'all. Like, and thanks for letting me do this, because now I feel fulfilled, you know, and I'm just going to monitor this thing like I don't know what. If I think of anything, I'm sure going to gum you guys away and let you know. So I appreciate you. And like I said, I know my producer is kind of monitoring it. So I think, and looking at the time, I know that Attorney Dennis had something that he had to get on, and I'm not going to be the one that I don't want him to be accused of CP time. Then that's college people time.
Right.
Well, thanks again.
He is learning counsel. He knows what that means.
I do. Right. Absolutely.
But I appreciate both of y'all. So thank you so very much. And I just want to contact my producer and just say that I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up right now. But again, thanks for the appreciation. Good luck and Godspeed and all that you are doing. Please.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
You bet.